Hello, you're listening to I'm Not That Old, Lady, and welcome. I'm Teresa Sayers. I live on a farm in Minnesota, USA. And I will try to figure out why we are so obsessed with age and aging. Be advised, some language may not be appropriate for all listeners. There may be some profanity that is not beeped out. This podcast is for informational purposes only. You should seek your own professional counseling advice if you feel the need. Oswald Vargas is a licensed marriage and family therapist practicing in California. He has 10 years' experience in individual and family counseling. Oz, as he's known to his friends, has generously agreed to give us insight into why we feel as we do. I think you'll easily understand why I am so thrilled to add his expertise to the podcast. Here he is.
This call is being recorded.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Hello there. You okay?
I'm finally not on my feet.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
It's been a busy day, but I'm fine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. How are you?
Finally winding down. I've been trying to figure it out how to, you know, end my work week. Saturday around this time. It just never worked out. There's always something to do.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know.
Yeah. So yeah. I was like, okay, you know. So today, after we're done with this, I think I'm calling it a day. That's it.
Good for you.
I'm sure if I find something, if I look for something, I'll find something.
Don't look.
Yeah, exactly. I literally have to walk away from my computer.
Right, you do.
Well, what's done is done. I'll pick it up on Monday, you know.
It'll be there waiting for you.
Yeah. So it's just the workaholic in me. I'm still working on it.
Dear.
Yeah.
Well, it's a process. It is indeed.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm finally not moving. Well, it's been a very busy day. It started early, of course, and we had three buyers come today and take their puppies home. And Yeah, so I have two left.
What is that like?
Oh, it's fine for me. You know, they're just waiting so patiently for them. And, oh, the looks on their faces when they see their puppy. Oh, so sweet. Yeah.
How's the rest of the litter adjusting to seeing their siblings?
Well, there's two left, and they're fine. They're just...
Okay.
Kind of doing their thing, and it's a lot less noise for me and a lot less mess. And Dixie got a new toy, so she's fine. And I went to the barn, and yeah.
All right. We're good. Good transition.
Yeah. It was a good day at the barn. It was vet day and chiropractor day for the horse. And so, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Lots of money going out the door. A little bit coming in. So, yeah. But it got me to thinking, you know, this whole thing with this litter got me thinking about a change in routine and why is it so upsetting. Because I have a thing where I go to bed at a certain time and I get up at a certain time and I start the coffee pot and I let the dog out and I turn on the TV to watch the news and then I pour my coffee and I watch the news for a little bit. And, you know, then I get ready for work and I go to work. And with this litter of puppies, that does not happen. Because instead of getting up at 5 or 5:30, I'm sometimes getting up at 4, 4:15 in the morning and dealing with puppy stuff. And it's very upsetting. It's weird. I mean, and then I got to thinking about it because I do that. I think too much. And when I worked at a coffee shop, you would see the same people every morning at the same time on their way to work. And
yeah.
We got to the point where we'd see their car pull up and we'd start their beverage. And we'd mm-hmm. have it ready for them, and they'd pick it up and go to the register, pay for it, and say, hi, good morning, how you doing? And out the door they went. So it was part of their routine to come to the mm-hmm. coffee shop and get their coffee and mm-hmm. go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just so disorienting for me that, you know, now I've got these kittens who decide to pound, you know, stand on my head at 4 o'clock in the morning. And Dixie mm-hmm. gets the puppies up and gets them all whipped up, so I got to get up. And it's just like, oh, my God, let me just, for a minute, 45 minutes later, I'll take a sip of coffee. It's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my God, why is that so upsetting? Why is it so disorienting? Why do we have routine? Why is it, you know, why?
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. So
mm-hmm.
I thought I'd ask you.
Okay. Got it. Well, we are creatures of habit.
Oh,
and
gosh,
by routine gives us a sense of comfort. You know, the human nature of us, right? Once we want to know what's going to happen next. It gives us a false sense of control.
Ah.
Okay. If we know what's going to happen next, then I can prevent or I can prepare for it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that also has to do with our own, well, I mean, just going on a side note, you know, I mean, I had a somebody in church close to us. I literally just saw her last week and last Sunday, and then she went for surgery and she passed away 2 days ago. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, and I was talking to her husband, you know, yesterday, and he's saying, you know, we make all these great plans. We had all these plans, but God laughs at us because he goes, yeah, you make your plans. I got plans for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, that's the human part of us.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to have that false sense of control, right?
Right.
If you think about it, we can take it back to our childhood, you know, why do kids need routine? Why is it important for a child to have a routine? When to wake up? What's going to happen next, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is necessary for children to have routine in the morning? Because
was a learning thing, but okay.
Yeah. No, it gives them, it gives them that sense of comfort. That's why a child asks, are we there yet? When are you coming
mm-hmm.
back?
Mm-hmm.
Because when the moment they start wondering, right, what's
right.
next, then their mind just goes wild. And also as human beings, we also tend to go towards the negative, right? Learning how to think positive is something that you have to learn. That doesn't come naturally. Whenever we start wondering what's next, we always tend to go in a negative or that things are going to go bad. That's
yeah, something's going to go wrong. Yeah, what's going
to
go wrong?
You know, and then we have to teach ourselves to be like, well, no, things could go right. We don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if it does work out? That's something that we have to learn how to do. So for a child, it's important to have routine. Like I know your daughter is older, but, you know, I don't know if you remember going to a classroom for like a first grade or kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
they have something, all the classrooms have something by the door. What do you think that is?
Well, now it's hand sanitizer, but back in that day,
yeah.
or my day,
like
a clock.
Every classroom has something like a clock, and then they had the schedule for the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They knew at what time they were going to go in, what time was recess, right? What time they're going to have their break, and what time they're going to have class, what time they were going to come back, what time they were getting picked up. It was all there laid out for them.
Hmm.
Why?
Yeah,
because if a child at any given point starts wondering, right?
Right.
Then all you got to do is look at the wall.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, okay, now I know what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps them with their anxiety. And then we carry that on. So we develop these routines that gives us comfort. Once you fall into
mm-hmm.
your routine, right, and it gives you comfort, like, you know, in a way you kind of know what's going to happen next.
Right.
And but then the thought of, but again, as you and I know now, life doesn't always work that way, right? You have to be flexible. And as many plans as you have, as laid out, as you know, as detailed plans that you have, you don't have control of what's gonna, of the world or what's going to happen with somebody else. So you have to be able to adjust, right, and adapt. But a lot of, even though logically we understand that, a lot of people struggle with that at an emotional level.
Well, I can understand why. Mm-hmm. I really can.
Yeah, you know, and we get angry when things don't go our way, because somehow along the way we thought, if I made these plans, it's supposed to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then that's going to make me upset, because it wasn't supposed to be like that.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to turn out this way.
Right.
I've said that a few times.
Because we create these plans in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's the human nature in us. You know, and that's why this whole pandemic created this. People had to, were forced to adapt. We're forced to, because it wasn't supposed to come up in that way, right?
On but a global scale. Golly.
Correct.
I mean, that just threw us all off the rails.
Sure. People had to, were told to wear masks. I never had to wear a mask before. Why do I have to? Because you have to adjust. And that's why you saw people struggling with it. Not people, very smart people that understood the concept of masks, and that's why the argument was so frustrating, because it wasn't that they didn't understand that mask work, right? It was more at an emotional level. They didn't want to give up their routine. They didn't want to give up their lifestyle, because that gave them comfort. You know.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. So, and they called it freedom. But
correct.
It wasn't really freedom. Yeah,
right.
But it wasn't freedom.
Sense,
it was more or less their lifestyle, their plans for how things should
their
go.
Their sense of comfort, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why change is so hard. Because, you know, it means you have to give up control. If you have something planned out and now it's changing, right? Another reason is that there's I just had this conversation. In my class that I'm teaching, homeostasis. Homeostasis is a natural law that everything wants to remain the same. It's called homeostasis. So everything, even though you're changing something for the better, right? Your body, your brain always wants to go back to the way it was.
Interesting.
That's just human nature. So when I help somebody through the process of change, I get them ready for that moment. You know, because they're like, okay, whether you're changing your diet, whether you're changing your lifestyle, you know, whether you're giving up a bad addiction or any change for that matter, okay? There will be a moment in the process, there will be a moment where you will want to go back.
Right.
That's coming. You have the best of intentions, but there will be a moment where something is gonna trigger you, right?
Right.
And you will want to throw in the towel and go back. And it's in that moment that you have, if you're ready for it, you can, you know, you're like, okay, so I know it's coming. So when it happens, you're like, oh, this is part of the process, and you work through it. But
so you have
not,
what, different coping mechanisms or coping skills to overcome that natural thing? Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah. Depends on what we're dealing with, right?
Right.
Depending on what we're dealing with, we come up with a plan. You know, it's not a matter of if, when that moment comes, what are you going to do about it to keep you focused, to keep you on course?
Boy, I sure wish we had that information 40 years ago.
No, I hear you. I hear you. That's just, you know, as human beings, we just push through it. You know, we muscle through it. We think like, okay, you know, and then you have people saying, well, you know, people very, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, they understand that life is never according to plan, right? You can have all your plans, but life happens, and you have to roll with the punches. You know, it's the famous line from Rocky, right? Life is not about what happens to you, it's how you deal with it. That's what life is. You know, because life is going to hit you. Life is going to hit you hard. How are you going to deal with that?
Right, right. Well, I've always said, and I think it was some famous person that said it first, and I've kind of adopted it, but if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. So,
And that's what, you know, and that's what this gentleman who's so strong in his faith, you know, I talked to him, like I said, and he, that's what he said. Because we had all these plans, me and my wife, but I know God is laughing, like, no, I got plans for you. And, you know, and I think last week we were talking about attachment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Change and how people are so unhappy. Well, that's what happens. We get attached to these ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get attached to these concepts, like if I get a job, if I have a car, I'm going to be happy. So you attach your happiness to something that you have no control over.
Or you think you do,
when that gets,
and then something happens and throws you off the rails because your homeostasis is no longer stasis. And then you're really messed up. Oh, I get it. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, in my case, I am, you know, these puppies are going to go to their new homes, and I'll have a relative sense of normalcy. But we're, of course, going to do this again. So now I'm better prepared for another litter of puppies because I think we have a better understanding of what to expect every week, you know, as they grow and mature. Because we really didn't know. You don't know until you go through it. You know, it's like you don't know how what it's like to be a parent until you've had a baby. Because you think you know. You don't know. You do not
know. I couldn't agree more. I've been teaching, you know, I've been working in this field for 11 years now, if no more. About 11 years, right? And I've taught so many parenting classes, you have no idea. And then at a university level, I taught developmental psychology. And part of what I teach is the human development from birth to death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a couple of years, I taught how do babies develop and the psychology and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once I had my own, it took a whole different meaning. Like I was able to teach it from a whole, you know, I was able to teach that class from a whole different perspective.
Right.
You know, and I mean, there is some things that, you know, even my wife, mom says, like, wow, this comes very natural to you. Well, because, again, I've been working with parents of children, right, for so long. So some of those things do come natural to me because I've been practicing. But, again, nothing prepared me to be a father.
No,
yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
Sure, I get it.
Whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it when people that have never had children of their own or babies, like adopted a baby from when they were an infant or had children of their own. I love it when those people tell me how to parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look at them and okay.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something to be said because, I mean, to be fair, I was, as a professional, right? I was teaching those classes, parenting classes, and I did get some parents like, how can you teach me, right? Something that you've never gone through, right? Well, because yeah, perhaps I didn't have my own kids, but I've done the research and I've learned.
Yeah, but
yes,
your situation is a little more, it's got some study behind it. It's got some education behind it. Yeah,
it wasn't just my opinion. It was something that you know, decades of studies, right, show. So I was able to do that. But to be, with that being said, though, my level of empathy, right, I was able to look, when a parent tells me I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I feel it in a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a way I felt something similar having gone through it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that did make a difference. And perhaps, I mean, a lot of these people that they mean well, their heart is in the right place, right?
Sure.
Perhaps once they have their own kid, they'll have more empathy towards those parents. that are struggling.
Well, then you'll get the, oh, now I get it, you know, because I did when I had my daughter was like, oh, man, this is so hard. Now I get it.
Sure.
And now she has said that too. Like, okay,
yeah.
I get it now. I'm like, yeah, how about it?
It's about understanding. It's about empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about showing empathy. And I think once you go through something, even though it will never be the same as somebody else, it's because everybody's journey is different, right? But I think by nature, you kind of develop more empathy towards somebody going through it. And you're like, could you remember how you felt when you were going through it?
See, now, empathy is a very interesting emotion to me. Or
mm-hmm.
is it a skill? Or is it, I don't even know, well, what is it? But empathy is... I find it extraordinarily interesting when you see other people in any situation, on the news or in a whatever, in your real life, on the street and whatever, in your family, that have such a different take on what's going on in any situation. And you look at them and think, what kind of a cold-hearted bastard are you? I mean, seriously, can't you understand what this other person is going through or this situation? And, you know, everybody has a different level of empathy. But to be empathetic is perhaps a skill, perhaps something that has to be, you have to kind of let go. You have to kind of, like, accept more. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like a control thing. If you're empathetic, you have... Mm-hmm. more control over your emotions to be open to something that's changing or that's coming at you, or maybe more memory or something. And I think people that are less empathetic are such control freaks that they absolutely will not and cannot see anything from anybody else's point of view. Those people drive me crazy because I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I can't even talk to you if you're going to be that hardcore. I don't have the time for this. But and I know these people. I am around these people. That they're just that unempathetic. And it really bothers me.
People misunderstand what empathy is. People misunderstand it all the time. And just because I have empathy for somebody doesn't mean I'm okay with their behavior.
Mm.
You know, that one doesn't replace the other. Like, you can still hold somebody accountable. But empathy, it puts, you know, that you understand what their struggle is real. What they're going through is real. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe not to you, right? Maybe if you were in their shoes, you'd be like, oh, I will handle differently. And I get it. But it doesn't take away from their struggle.
Right.
And that's what
empathy
is.
Okay, I can buy that.
I can, you know, yeah. But a lot of people struggle with that concept. So, and people confuse sympathy and empathy all the time. People don't need somebody else to feel sorry for them. That doesn't help them. That's what sympathy is. Oh, poor you. You know? No, empathy is about saying like, oh, you know, I'm sorry you're going through this. You want to talk about it. That's what empathy is. And I'm going to listen to you, and I'm not going to judge you. You know, I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to listen to you. And we might not agree at the end, but I'm going to listen to you.
That's a good explanation. I like that. Sympathy is not empathy.
Yeah.
All right, I get that. That's
right. People confuse the two all the time. So again, it's about understanding their struggle. Be like, well, yeah, I can see how that, you know, that's difficult, but without seeing it through your filter. Because every time somebody goes through something, you automatically see it through your filter. So
right.
To you go like, really? Like, no, it's not that big of a deal. Then that's not showing empathy. Maybe to you it's not that big of a deal. Okay, good for you. That's great. But that doesn't mean to that person it's not a big deal.
I get that.
But then it's a difficult thing to develop. You know, when you have your own trauma, when you have your own biases, right? When maybe you were hurt by somebody like that, so then unless you work through it, you're always going to be judging people.
Mhm.
Yeah.
No, I understand the concept. I work with a person who's going through a lot, and you
mm-hmm.
know that person gets talked about by other employees, and I'm like, no, you know what? This isn't our circus. This isn't our monkeys. This is not any of our business. But I can understand
mm-hmm.
where this person is coming from. I can understand why this person is
mm-hmm.
acting this way. I don't agree
mm-hmm.
with it, but
mm-hmm.
given
right.
whatever is what little I know about this person, I understand some of the history
mm-hmm.
and where it's going and why it is where it is now and where it could
mm-hmm.
go. And all I can manage to do is not make it worse.
Right.
You know, I don't feel the need to beat this person down even further or treat them meanly or
right.
you know, I
right.
that's not helpful. I just think
right.
it's, if nothing else, just try and be helpful by not being unkind. And perhaps
mm-hmm.
that's empathetic person that I am, but I don't
right.
feel it's necessary to be unkind to someone going through
mm-hmm.
anything. And if you can't
right.
help, then just shut up and get out of the frickin' way.
Just let him be, right? Just let
you
him
know?
Be.
It's just like, why
yeah.
do you have to make it worse by poking at him? You don't. Just if you're
right.
not going to be nice, then shut up and get out of the way. Or at least
right.
just be kind enough to not be unkind. So I don't know. That's
mm-hmm.
that's my
right.
that's the skill that I've been working on throughout this whole COVID thing, that everybody's struggling
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of people's lives. And you know what? If
mm-hmm.
I can't be helpful, then I'm going to kind of like get out of the way. I just don't feel the
yeah.
need to be unkind about something.
Right. Correct. Yeah. In my
yeah.
line of work, obviously, I deal with that every day. You know, people come to me for many different reasons. And, you know, it's, and I might be the first person that shows them empathy. You know, and people are like, how are you able to do that? Well, because they need somebody to show them empathy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I can be that person, then I'll be that person. But again, that doesn't mean I don't hold them accountable, right?
Right.
I do hold them accountable, but with love, with empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time. It's
yeah.
not an immediate thing. I get that.
No, you're absolutely right. That's something that we have to work on over and over. Yeah.
It's such
mm-hmm.
an instant society. They just want go, 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 done, done, done. And,
that's
the next
work.
Thing.
Yeah. The, why do we
That's the
we
next thing
live
I'm
going to
work on.
That's the thing that blows my mind, that we live in a society that you actually have to learn how to be mindful, be in the moment. But
mm-hmm.
when, you know, you have to go somewhere to learn that. Because in our society, that's not natural, right? In our society, it's about what's next. We don't live in the moment. I mean, if you look at social media, the most popular ones, it's only 30 seconds long videos, because that's our attention span.
Wow.
So they're moving on to the next thing. You know, and we are being conditioned to operate that way.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Jeez.
So yeah, so again, so going back to the topic, right? Change.
Change. Tough thing.
It's all hard because we want to stay in our comfort zone. Okay, that's just human nature. We want to stay in our comfort zone, and it takes time to adjust, to adapt to a new, you know, to let something new to become the new normal. It's difficult. It's painful.
So is there a difference between a sudden change that you have no control over and, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, cut my hair short and dye it purple, you
mm-hmm.
know, or, you know, some horrible accident happens and, you know, all your hair has to get cut off for surgery. I mean, there's got to be different levels
mm-hmm.
of how to accept change because you made a decision and, ooh, I don't know if I like this haircut after all, and I absolutely hate it, and the color is ridiculous. It's temporary,
mm-hmm.
but still. Or you've had,
right.
you know, a friend of ours had a really interesting and really rather serious medical thing happen when he was out of town, and
mm-hmm.
Turns out they had to shave his head, and they over the course of 2 weeks, drilled 3 holes in his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he always had super long hair. So when he came mm-hmm. back, he finally came back, said, I'm out of here. I'm going home. So they drove back mm-hmm. and we finally saw mm-hmm. him, and I was like, holy moly. He's like, yeah, I haven't had hair this short since I was in the military. Well, he had no hair, mm-hmm. you know. But that's
gotcha.
Just a, he woke up and they had already done all this stuff because he had like some brain mm-hmm. bleed and he zonked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was very serious. It was actually very serious. So he was mm-hmm. really out of it for a long time. And then when he finally came to, days later, he was, of course, really disoriented. And you know, all of his hair is gone. And it's like, what
right.
the heck? Yeah, I mean, it was that kind of stuff.
Well,
that
I
sudden
think,
stuff
I,
has got to be different.
I think it's yes and no, to answer your question, yes and no. I think the process is the same, but it just takes different times, you know. But I think the process is still the same. You go through denial. You go through negotiation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You go through sadness because you're letting go. Something changed, right? And then you become resentful. And, well, not resentful, but you become angry about the change. And eventually you make peace with it. Eventually you get to acceptance.
It sounds like grief to me.
Yeah, it is grief. Anytime you change something, you're grieving because you're letting something go. Now, in some cases, it takes longer because you go through the grieving process, right, more straight out because you know it's coming, right? And sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and in other times, you just have to deal with it on the spot. But the process is still the same. You know, some people. Again, when people say everybody grieves differently, not necessarily. We just go in different orders, but we go through the stages regardless. You know, like my friend from church, right?
Right.
His wife. I mean, she just had surgery and she passed away like a couple of days later. But when I talked to him, he was still in shock, and I know it's gonna take him a little bit of time to process, right? One probably
sure.
more than just a little bit of time to go through the
sure.
grieving process, right? Unlike somebody who is living with somebody with an illness, with a terminal illness,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing that person, you know, die before your eyes over a period of time, but you still go through the stages.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how you go through those stages is that's what makes the difference. You know, some people fight it. Some people want to fight the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't want to cope with it. And some people, we talked about this before, with a pandemic, you know, we're not going back to the normal. And a lot of people are having a hard time with it. Because everybody was kind of like, okay, once this is over, we'll go back to our normal. And now they're realizing that that normal is never going to be the same. So that's changed. So now they're grieving. They're grieving that. That their
yes,
life as they knew
that.
It is never going to be the same.
Yeah.
So it's human nature. You know, that's why we fight the change. Because it's uncomfortable. It gets you out of your comfort zone. And we all want to be in our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. So if left alone, we would just do the same thing over and over and over and over again until we die?
Well, no. I mean, unfortunately, that's not how life works. Life is, there's always going to be changes.
Right, there will.
Whether you want to or not. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Left to our own devices, yes. We will be doing the same creatures of habit. Right? We'll continue doing that same thing. But life has a way of getting you out of your comfort zone.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
You know, something happens, an illness, or something happens in your life. But life has a way of getting you out of your comfort zone.
Interesting. Well, the change now
yeah,
is that
it.
I think my puppies have learned to climb. Oh, boy.
Right.
There's some stuff on the floor that shouldn't be.
You went through a change, you know, with them, and now you're going to have to regroup again, right?
Yeah, it's
going to
be weird.
So now you're going to have all this free time now. that you haven't had for the last few weeks, right?
That's true. That's a true statement. I don't know what happened here or why they got on top of this thing, but they did. Oh boy. Oh boy. You guys are naughty. They are naughty. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, talking about change is there's always something that's going to be different.
So people, one of the things that, you know, you need to develop healthy ways to cope with the change. Because you're going to change regardless, in a good or a bad way. Right?
Right.
So you can fight it all you want, but change is still happening.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah. Nothing ever stays the same. Nothing.
I guess not. I mean, even the weather changes and everything is different.
Right.
And
That's what I was. I read somewhere. It just came to me right now. I read somewhere that they said the good news. Well, the bad news is that nothing stays the same. The good news is nothing stays the same.
Yeah.
So if you're going through a good time. Enjoy it, embrace it, live the moment, right? Live today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because bad news is not always going to be like this, right? And if you're going through a difficult time, the good news is that nothing ever stays the same.
You know what my father would always say? My father would say, "This too shall pass."
Yeah, that's okay. That's right.
He would.
Everything. Yeah.
Or he would say something very clever like, "Yes, my dear, someday you too shall be a butterfly." You know, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
But yes, someday shall pass.
Just when the caterpillar thought it was about to die, guess what? It became a beautiful butterfly.
That's true. It's a true statement.
But going through that process is a very painful process. But unless the caterpillar goes through that painful process, it will never become the butterfly that it was meant to be.
Right.
But
that's
we don't
true.
Want that. As human beings, can we just keep that painful change and just go, you know, can we just keep that part and just become the amazing souls that we're meant to be? You know, and that's not how it works. Because even if that was the case, you wouldn't appreciate it. You know, if you were to skip that painful step, right, to get to where you need to be, and you get there, you wouldn't appreciate it because it just happened. But as human beings, we don't want to go through that painful process. We just want to get there.
No, we don't. Right.
Because change, again, change is hard. Change is difficult. Change is painful.
So I'm sure that there's skills and coping mechanisms to help with all of that stuff, and we'll explore that.
How you cope with it, you know, people. I mean, you can. Unfortunately, there's more unhealthy coping mechanisms are more popular, right? People drink, people smoke, they put stuff in their bodies, right? People develop addiction because they don't want to deal with the pain; they want to numb. Okay, but there's a lot of healthy companies and learning mindfulness, eating better. You know, like 4 years ago when I was diagnosed with that, I was gluten intolerant. I thought that was dumb. Like I didn't think that was a real thing until they diagnosed me with it, and. You know, and I had to change my eating habits, and I haven't eaten fast food in 4 years. And you know, I lost weight, and you know, I look healthy, and I told people, "Wow, you know, you look great." I'm like, it wasn't by choice. I'll tell you that much. You know, you because they diagnosed me right before the holidays too, so which sucked because my family like nobody's business, and
right.
I couldn't touch any most of the food, but I had to because if I would have eaten it, it would have made me sick and there would have been a lot of pain, and I didn't want that. So then, but going through that change was very hard. You know, I can understand why people don't do diets and all that stuff because it's difficult.
Right.
But that's what it took. That's what it took, you know, me going through that. So yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
So then I learned to eat better, you know, I exercise more now. I developed some healthy coping skills. It's not perfect by no means, but, you know,
right.
It's not. Then I quit drinking for years. I haven't touched any alcohol in 4 years. I used to smoke 10 years ago, maybe. I gave that up like 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't, but I told my wife, like, man, I picked the worst time to quit drinking.
Right?
Last
or the
year,
best time.
Plenty of days where I could have used to drink. Oh, man.
Yeah. I understand
you know?
That.
I was like, there are so many days where I was, oh man, a drink will feel amazing right now, but that's not who I am anymore. You know, and
right.
So I do more meditation, exercise, I pray more. You know, I have to develop those skills. But I'm not gonna lie, it's hard. There is days that is more difficult than others.
Yeah.
There
well.
Is days where I do want to go back, and I do want to, you know. I wish I could have a drink, but that is in those moments where I'm like, no, I'm not touching that anymore.
Right.
It's in those moments.
That's a sense
where
of,
I remember.
That's got to be a really wonderful sense of accomplishment too. Like, well, see.
I guess. I mean, this is what I told my clients. So proud of you that you're staying sober. You know. So I guess I should tell myself the same thing. But. You know, to me, it's like, I don't know. I guess I should be proud, but I don't see it as something like that for myself anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that it's something that I don't want to do anymore. And again, I never had a problem with drinking. It's just because I guess it makes me sick. And
right.
Again, I've developed other ways to cope with my stress.
Right.
You know, like I said, exercising, meditation, prayer, all that stuff. So I got other ways to cope with it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But it wasn't easy. It hasn't been easy by no means.
No, I understand that. I do.
So I get it. When I work with my clients and they're like, yeah, I had a few drinks this weekend, I go, I understand. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand. Don't beat yourself up over it. Let's just regroup and continue pushing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be perfect. I mean, that's kind of a tall order.
Right. Yeah. There's no, I mean, no, nobody is. I mean, that's just how, you know, again, that's the empathy that we're talking about, right?
Right.
Empathy. Change is
empathy.
Hard. Another thing that I follow all the time, some people just cannot change. That's not true. Everybody's capable of change. Everybody. Okay, it's just that people don't know. Some people don't know, right? People that they need to change. Honestly, some people are not aware. They're not aware. You know, some people do it for the wrong reasons. Okay. Some people they don't know where to ask for help, or they ask the wrong type of help. And last but not least, some people are impatient. They want the change to happen right now.
Oh,
and I said, I'm sorry, you're not gonna change something that you've been doing for years, you know, in a matter of weeks. Sorry, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm.
So I can narrow it down to those four reasons. So when somebody's struggling somebody that I'm working with, the struggle with change, I tried to pinpoint, okay, what's causing that? You know, why are you struggling with this?
Right.
And it's usually one of those. And based on that, I can address it and come up with a plan to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow.
So you need to, so again, you know, first self-awareness. You know, do some searching. People say, okay, do I need to change this? Why do I need to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then be honest with yourself as far as why. Why are you doing it? You know, I tell people, if you're doing it for your kids, you're doing it for your family, then don't. Don't waste your time. You have to do it for you. You have to do it because you want better for you. Remember what I said earlier today, attachment? If you attach mm-hmm. your happiness to your kids, for example, if
oh,
you attach
here we go. Yep.
Your happiness, right? Here you go through this difficult change, and guess what? If your kids don't celebrate it, then you're going to get mad at them.
Right.
If your wife doesn't celebrate it, you're going to be like, I went through all of this for you, and this is how you repay me?
Mm-hmm.
Then you did it for the wrong reasons.
Right. I get that.
You know,
I totally get that.
If you're going to change anything, your behavior, your thoughts, anything, you have to do it for you. That's it. For you.
Whether people okay. around you like it or not, that's the other thing. You know, you can change,
right.
and there are people
right.
around you that are like, God, what the heck is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? This is crazy, or this
well,
isn't
well,
you,
well,
or...
Well, brings me to the next point, right? That... once you start changing, the people around you are going to notice that either they're either going to celebrate it or it's going to irritate them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the people that are in a good place, they're going to celebrate your change. They're going to be like, wow, okay, good for you. But guess what? Your old behavior, your old way of thinking was working for some people.
Right,
so
right,
once you,
exactly.
once you change, that it's not going to work for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be upset about that. They're going to be like, why, you know, who you are now doesn't work for me anymore. Go back to who you used to be.
Right. Yeah. I've gone through that.
Well, that's why, and sometimes part of the change is that you have to change your environment. You know, I'm working with this young man right now. He had a very bad drinking problem, caused him to lose his relationships, you know, all kinds of stuff. And he said that he had to walk away from his friends, so-called friends, because now that he wasn't drinking, they were like, really? You think you're better than us now? Come on, just one
mm-hmm.
drink, you know? Just one beer. Come
yeah.
in. And he's like, no, that's not for me anymore. So he had to walk away from them.
Yeah, I get that. I understand. I've gone through that.
Right.
Yeah.
So your change,
you get that.
Your change is going to irritate some people. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to do it for you, not for anybody
Well, and
else.
If you do it for yourself and no one else, you can say,
mm-hmm.
all right, you know what? I understand that you're uncomfortable, but, man,
mm-hmm.
I feel so much better. Or you can say
mm-hmm.
it to yourself privately, which is what I do. I say to myself privately, yeah, I get it. I know you're upset with me, but that
mm-hmm.
is your deal, not mine.
Well, yeah, and again, when you go through the process, then if you don't have anybody around to be like, hey, good job, awesome, you're okay because you were doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were doing it expecting people to celebrate it, then you're going to be very disappointed and you're going to quit.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's going to celebrate your change.
Right, exactly. And I understand that. Well, believe me, I understand
mm-hmm.
that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And last but not least, again, patience. You know, it takes time. That's just how it goes. It takes time. It takes a lot of stumbles along the way. You're going to trip. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes along the way, but eventually you'll get there. We live in a very goal-oriented society, and that's wrong because we're so focused on the goal that we forget about the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you're so goal oriented, what happens? You put your happiness on the goal. So if you don't reach the goal, then you're disappointed and you're sad. But if you put your happiness in the journey, even if you don't reach the goal, that's okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember, you know, you enjoy the journey, and you remember how far you come along. But I get that a lot from a lot of people, like, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to fail again. I don't, you know, and I'm like, look where you started, you know. Look how far you come.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything to you, and they look like, oh, wow, I have done a lot. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, you know, being patient. So that's what changed you so hard, my friend.
That makes sense. It does, it mm-hmm. does. It gives me something to think about.
Yes, if you can focus on those things, you know, on those four things, I think you'll be in a better place.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're right.
And show yourself some empathy. You know? So give yourself some grace. Understand that we're not perfect and things happen. So we continue fighting on.
Yeah, live to fight another day and make a little
mm-hmm.
accomplishment and go forward from
mm-hmm.
there. Good. Yeah, that makes
That's
sense
it.
To me.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
All right, my dear. Well, I look forward to the posting this and, you know, our listeners. You know, if we get
mm-hmm.
something, this clicks, if there's any topics coming down the grapevine, please let us know. Okay.
Yeah.
And I hope this little bits of information helps somebody out there. And, you know, and if there's something specific that they want to talk about, want me to address, I'll be more than glad to.
Good deal.
Okay.
That sounds like a plan.
Awesome. All right.
All right, my dear. Thank
enjoy
you
your,
so
enjoy,
much
enjoy
for your time.
Enjoy your free time now.
Well, there's still two here, and they were getting into
yeah.
trouble, so I got to do a little cleaning up here before I go on to my next round of errands. Yes, little babies, little darling Labradors. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Oh, they are just little stinkers, but they're so cute. All right. Well,
mm-hmm.
enjoy the rest of your
All
day.
Right,
And I
All
will
right.
talk
Take
to you
care.
Later.
Have a wonderful weekend. Take
you
care.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to I'm Not That Old Lady. And thank you for sharing your time with me. We're going to do this all the time. I think there's a lot going on here that we need to work through and look at and really bring into the light. I mean, a lot of us have some old bones that really need to be cleaned out. I just really think and feel that we need some help, and it doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, you gotta listen, right? So thank you for your time. We're gonna be going through a number of different scenarios. And when I started this podcast, it was pretty obvious to me that I was still harboring a lot of feelings and resentments and anger and fear and grief regarding my parents. And so I offer myself up to help kind of open a window into somebody else's experiences. Maybe it'll help. Maybe it will turn on a light in somebody else's dark closets of grief and sadness and loneliness. Anyway, well, we're here to help. And once again, thank you to Oz. I just couldn't be more thrilled and more appreciative to Oswald's very generous offer to share his experiences and his knowledge with us. I think it'll help. So stay tuned. We are going to really get into some nitty-gritty next time on I'm Not That Old Lady. Take care.